Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, today we are blessed with the most auspicious day, Gita Jayanti, the day when Krishna blessed Arjuna and us. Actually, Arjuna didn't need it, but he's playing the role of a conditioned soul because we need it desperately, this knowledge. So, this is the most auspicious day when Bhagavad Gita was spoken. Why? Some newcomer comes and says, "Why? I never heard of Bhagavad Gita. Or I heard about it, but what's so special about it? Why do you say this is the most auspicious thing?" Person would ask, "Why? Why do you say that?" The reason that this day is the most auspicious day is that we are presently in an unnatural state. The fish is taken out of the water. That fish cannot be satisfied, no matter what arrangement you may make for that fish on the land. You can say, "My dear flopping fish, why are you flip-flopping in agony there on the beach? I will give you a nice car. I'll give you a Corvette, flashy red Corvette. I'll give you a beautiful girlfriend. I'll give you a mansion. I'll give you everything. I'll give you a movie contract. You can be a movie star. Make you the prime minister. I'll make you a multi-billionaire, Bill Gates." Can that fish ever be happy? By any amount of arrangement on the land? No, he cannot be happy. Because he is a being of the water. So we are spiritual beings, actually. Therefore, no amount of arrangement made on the land can actually satisfy us. Impossible. Absolutely impossible. No matter how hard you try, you're still going to get sick, get old, and die. That rhymes. It's a fact. No matter how hard you try, you're going to get sick, you're going to get old, and you're going to die in this world. So why are you struggling so hard just for this world? It's just a dream state. Of course, there is a real existence. It is real, but it's not what it appears to be. We're not saying this world is false like the Mayavadi. It's real. This floor is real. The microphone's real. It's real. But it's not what it appears to be. That is the illusion. I'm thinking this body is myself. That's the illusion. The body is real. The self is real. But they did not equal each other. The body and the self are different. So the Bhagavad Gita is making it very clear. Dehi no sminyata dehi komam jovalam jala tatha dehantara pratir dhirustatra muyati. The embodied soul continually passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age. The soul similarly passes into another body at the time of death. The self-realized souls are not at all bewildered by these changes of the body because they know it's not me. I see you today with a t-shirt different than the shirt you had yesterday. Was that traumatic for you to change your shirt? No. No big deal. So an enlightened spiritual being, someone who is fixed in Krishna consciousness, is not disturbed by changes of body. No more than your change. He was disturbed by changing his shirt. But if you think that you are that body, then it's a very disturbing thing. Death. Horrible. Death. Oh no, death. Horrible thing. So, Bhagavad Gita is that knowledge which liberates us from this false conception of bodily identification. By negating everything? No. By giving you the positive knowledge of actually who you are. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. We are eternal spiritual beings. We have always existed in the past. We're existing right now, and we will exist eternally into the future. Why do we exist? Aham savashapavava mataksavam pravartate. Because Krishna is emanating us from himself. For what purpose?
Shishi Pada
Gopinath? Dijar. Krishna wants to have loving relationships. That's why we exist. So he's emanating countless numbers of living beings from himself for the purpose of enjoying an infinitude of rasas with an infinitude of living beings. So you have something unique that Krishna wants that no one else can satisfy him. He wants your particular love, your particular loving service. No one else can substitute. Krishna wants specifically your love, not somebody else's will do. Well, you can take his and use the substitute. No, there's no substitute. He wants your love. So the only way we can actually become satisfied is to give our love to Krishna. So this Bhagavad Gita is a wonderful book which tells us how to come out of this lust, anger, and greed, false bodily identification, and come to the enlightened, absolutely, totally enlivened position of Krishna Prem. You want the nectar? Do you want to taste the nectar?
Yes.
Yeah. She wants the nectar. This is where it is. Krishna Bhakti. That's where the nectar is. You won't get it anywhere else. You won't get it in sex. You won't get it in power. You won't get it in money. You won't get it in prestige. You won't get the nectar anywhere else except here. In Krishna Bhakti. Or wherever you do Krishna Bhakti. The same. I don't mean in this physical location. No. Anywhere. Anywhere and everywhere, wherever you connect with Krishna in love and devotion, you will experience the ultimate experience, Krishna consciousness. That's the ultimate experience. This is not a sectarian religion. If it was, I would be caught dead in this temple. I walked away from that garbage in the 60s. I wanted the ultimate experience beyond all the illusions of bodily identification. And Prabhupada delivered it out of his causeless mercy. And I've been relishing it ever since. The ultimate glob jam. Trying to share it with everyone, because the world is suffering. So this is a great opportunity, this day of Gita Jayanti. It's a day when we celebrate the distribution of the Bhagavad Gita. One little insider secret in this connection is, the more you distribute the mercy, the more you get the mercy. the material world, you're a wealthy man, you give your money away in charity, you gradually deplete your wealth. But this works on a different principle. This is within the spiritual energy. The more you give Krishna to others, the more you get Krishna. So, Prabhupada explains in this connection the intelligent strategy of a Krishna conscious person. Prabhupada explains in his Srimad Bhagavatam purport. He says, a Krishna conscious being is always thinking how to deliver all of suffering humanity back to home, back to God. And even if he's not successful in doing that, his perfection is guaranteed. And anybody who follows him, they will also achieve perfection. So my question for you all tonight, does Prabhupada want us to be Krishna conscious beings or not? What is the name of our movement? The International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And Prabhupada has defined Krishna consciousness, the symptom of someone who is Krishna conscious, is they're thinking about delivering the entire world. So, do we have the potency to do that? Of course not. But does the Bhagavad Gita have that potency? So the Sydney Temple is offering you the great opportunity to get more Krishna by giving more Krishna. And Atmarantabhu will be explaining after my lecture how you can get more Krishna for yourself by giving Krishna. Krishna explains right near the end of the book. It says, idam te my old age is creeping in, my ears are going bad, my eyes are going bad. Should have brought my glasses here. Let me get my flashlight out, that'll help. A little more light, yeah, okay. Idante nata paskaya nabaktaya kadachana na charshushrave vashyam na chamam yo vasuyati. This confidential knowledge may never be explained to those who are not austere or devoted or engaged in devotional service, nor to one who is envious of me. You may say, well, how can I distribute it to anyone? Because those who are not Krishna conscious. But then Prabhupada explains here that the devotee of the Lord understands the innermost desire of the Lord, and therefore he takes up this work, because in his most merciful incarnation as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna has ordered us, Jaride Katarika Krishna Upadesha Mara Gaya Guru Hoyutare Desh, that whomever you meet, you must instruct him in the teachings of Krishna. So, Lord Chaitanya has manifested even more mercy than Krishna himself. In the next verse, Krishna says, Ya idam paramam ghuyam mad bhakteshvabhi bhashyati bhaktim mayi param kridva mam nevaishyat yashamshayaham. For one who explains the supreme secret to the devotees, pure devotional service is guaranteed, and at the end he will come back to me. So, the real fact is that actually everyone in the world is already a devotee. It's just covered. Everyone is actually a devotee. This is confirmed in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Jivera Swarupahoi Krishnera Nishadar. The constitutional position of a living being is that he's the eternal servant of Krishna. So actually every single living entity throughout the entire universe is a devotee of Krishna, a servant of Krishna. But they've forgotten. So anyone who takes up this activity of distributing Krishna consciousness, For such a person, pure devotional service is guaranteed. So, would anyone here like pure devotional service? Guaranteed. Yes or no?
Yes.
Yeah. If one takes up the mission of distributing this knowledge, then one actually is guaranteed to get devotional service. And then what does Krishna say further? Nacha tasman manusheshu kashchan me priyakrittamaha bhavita na chame tasmad anya priyataro buddhi. There is no servant in this world more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one more dear. So, if you want to become dear to God, this is how you can do that. And there's nothing more wonderful than becoming dear to God. There's nothing greater to achieve. If you can become very dear to that person who owns everything, controls everything, just imagine. It's like if you work for some corporation, you know, you're struggling like anything. But then you make good friends with the owner of the corporation. You become his best friend. Do you have any problems at your job anymore? No. You know the owner of the corporation. Nobody can touch you. The office politics can't touch you at all. You're impervious to the office politics because you are very dear to the owner of the corporation. You don't have to worry about anything. You got a big salary, a cushy office, all the privileges, you know, you got the best parking spot in the lot next to the owners, you know, no problem. No problem at all if you're dear to the owner. So just imagine, you see, if you're dear to that person who controls everything that's happening throughout the entire universe, who controls everything, who owns everything. If you become dear to that person, then do you have any problems anymore? Are there any problems you could ever have about anything? Nothing. You achieve complete freedom from anxiety when you become dear to Krishna. That's the fact. Total freedom from anxiety. So all we really have to do is learn how to become dear to a Lord. That's all we have to do. The easiest, quickest way to do that is to distribute this knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita to others. So this is a day when you can do that. A special day when you can get special mercy for doing that. The day that Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita. Just think of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. How much He sacrificed to give us this opportunity to taste the sweetest nectar of Krishna consciousness. Just think how dear Srila Prabhupada is to Krishna for the sacrifice He made. Just think how much dear we will be to Srila Prabhupada. He was so appreciative of anyone who assisted him in his mission. So by participating in this, what do you call it, Gita Dhan, giving Gita and charity program tonight, you will not only get the become very dear to Krishna, but you'll become very dear to Srila Prabhupada. Because he has worked very hard to make this book available. Krishna ordered Srila Prabhupada to come to this world. He said, you go to that material world and write those books. The direct order of Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srila Prabhupada, to come here and make these books available. To sit somewhere in some warehouse? No. To be out there in people's homes where they can pick it up and read it. So this is a very great opportunity to assist Srila Prabhupada in his mission. To become dear to Prabhupada. And Krishna says in the Adi Purana, he tells Arjuna, he says, one who is my devotee is not my devotee. But the devotee of my devotee, that is my actual devotee. So by becoming dear to Srila Prabhupada, by assisting him in distributing this Bhagavad Gita, then we become even more dear to Krishna. So, another reason to get serious about trying to help spread this Bhagavad Gita. Very, very important. So the real bottom line is, by coming to this platform, Krishna consciousness, and by taking up the activity of sharing Krishna consciousness, which is the actual method in this age of becoming Krishna conscious, we taste a pleasure which is very sweet, very sublime, which goes on increasing unlimitedly forever. This is called Brahma Saukyam Tunantam. That spiritual happiness that goes on increasing unlimitedly forever. Any material happiness we may have, it is here and it goes. It comes, it goes. You develop some appetite, you find some way to gratify that appetite, your appetite gets gratified and infinite. That activity is no longer attractive. It could be sexual appetite, food appetite, cigarette appetite, liquor appetite. It's temporary. But this appetite, if you can develop an appetite, a taste for loving service unto God, that appetite will never become satiated. The more you engage in serving God, the more your taste for doing that will increase. The more the hunger, the appetite for doing that will increase. Krishna consciousness is delicious. Actually, delicious. Ever increasingly delicious. Just imagine you could sit down to a meal, the ultimate meal. Huge table, and you just keep, the more you eat, the more you get appetite. And better it tastes, and it just goes on increasing, increasing, increasing. 50 different varieties of ice cream, you know, 20 different cakes, 50 different types of pakoras and chutneys and sabjis and shrikhan. And the more you relish that prasadam, the more it becomes tasty, and you never get filled up, you never get sick. You just become more and more energized by taking that prasadam. That's Krishna consciousness. It's the transcendental platform. There's no material inebeties. There's no adiadmic, adibhotic, adidaivic miseries on the platform of pure Krishna bhakti. Now, if we do some mixed position, well, I'll do some bhakti, you know, I'll do some karma, mix it together, you know, karma and vishra bhakti. Well, guess what? You won't get the full nectar. If you want to taste the true nectar, if you want to be fully satisfied, then you have to lay aside all material motivation and simply try to please God with every thought, with every word, with every deed, in all times, all places, in all situations. You can't have any ulterior motives if you want the full nectar. So we're scared to do that because of our conditioning. We're afraid to let go, fully give ourselves to Krishna, thinking, well, maybe you'll cheat. That's why Guru is very important. That's why Vaishnava is very important. Because if we can develop love and trust in Guru and in Vaishnava, that will help us to trust Krishna. We can put our faith in Guru and Vaishnava. Krishna will automatically have faith in Krishna because they're his representatives. So that's why it's very important. This temple, this kind, this center here is very important. A place where you can come, associate with Guru, associate with Vaishnavas, and develop your faith. Faith is the foundation. Not blind faith. That's condemned. But intelligent faith. based on reason and understanding. It's very, very important. Because if that faith becomes very strong, and that understanding, that comprehension becomes very strong, you see, then you can say, yes, I will do this. I will fully surrender to Krishna. From this moment, I have nothing to do except to think in a way that pleases Krishna, speak in a way that pleases Krishna, and act in a way that pleases Krishna. No matter where I am, no matter who I'm with, no matter what time of the day it is, always everything to Krishna. We come to this platform, we will relish like anything, inconceivable nectar. So, this activity of distributing Krishna consciousness, this is another one of those insider secrets. As we were mentioning earlier, the more you give Krishna, the more you get Krishna. Sometimes, in my own life, I've had some very good success in distributing Krishna consciousness on the internet, making so many contacts all over the world. But I was sometimes thinking, well, maybe it's getting in my head, and it's making me egotistical now. You know, so many people are appreciating me. Maybe this isn't good for my Krishna consciousness. Maybe I should just think about myself, forget about others, because I could be carried away by others too. So many people are appreciating me. This could be bad for my spiritual life. But then I realized, well, if I don't have spiritual desires for spreading this movement, which is, you know, if you get into a whole mood of thinking, I want to spread this movement, I got to do this project, this program, that program, I realized if I don't have a passion for studying Krishna consciousness, then, you know, just try to, well, let me just stop all these spiritual desires for pushing for this movement, then what's going to happen? Those material desires just come rushing in. The empty space. So my practical realization is that if you want to get your heart free of material desires, just fill it up with spiritual desires for pushing forward Krishna consciousness movement. The easy way, become absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Just always be thinking, planning, and scheming, what can I do to assist Srila Prabhupada in making this world Krishna conscious? Make that the theme of your life. You see. If you do that, your Krishna consciousness will automatically be there. I remember in this connection when I was in a Dallas temple years ago, Tamal Krishna Goswami was our GBC man, and there was one temple president. He was a sannyasi, and he had the management of the community was quite a chore for a sannyasi, because there was about 80 people, mostly householders, and at that time the economic structure was all through the temple treasury. So, you know, the temple was paying for diapers. I mean, it was quite a, you know, a thing to man for a sannyasi to manage this whole thing, little children and such a big headache in a sense. And to manage this big operation. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, yes, he said, because the temple president here, so-and-so Swami, is taking all of your problems upon himself, therefore he has no problem. And I always thought that was a very poignant point. And it's actually a fact. If you take the problems of the suffering humanity as your personal problem, that I have to dedicate my life by spreading Krishna consciousness, I have to dedicate my life to help the suffering people out of their misery, then you don't have any personal problem anymore. I've seen practically. So this evening, when we can think, especially on this evening, we can think, let me sacrifice my energy in the form of the money that I have earned. Let me make a sacrifice of the money that I have earned, the time I spent working to make money. Let me sacrifice that as much as possible this evening to push forward Krishna consciousness movement. You'll be amazed at the feeling of exhilaration you get by doing that. Because you're relieving the Lord of the anxiety that He is feeling to see His part and parcel, the conditioned souls who have become separated from Him, confused and bewildered. His dear children are lost in the cycle of birth and death. And if you can do something to help those lost children come back to the Lord, there's no way of measuring by any material calculation how pleased Krishna will be with you for doing that. You can't quantify it with any material means of measurement. There's only one way you can understand what it's like, and that is to do it. Do it. Make a sacrifice. Give something to help push forward the Bhagavad Gita in this world. So anyway, perhaps there's some questions that some of you might have. I have, I think, 10 minutes allotted right now. If there's any questions you have about what we've been speaking, I'd be happy to try to answer them. Anyone has questions? Of course, maybe you've all realized everything already. I should be asking you. Yeah.
You mentioned there was a moment that you crossed the threshold.
Mentioned, I'm a little hearing impaired, so speak loudly and clearly.
You mentioned in terms of your story, there was a time when you crossed a threshold and you got to a point where all that was consuming you was sharing the class of experience that you had.
What's he saying? You can't make it out? Did you make out what he said?
Share your experience.
Huh? What have I realized about Krishna? Share a little bit? Well, basically, I grew up in the 60s in the U.S. and
I'll explain the question.
All right, good. Yeah, apparently we misunderstood it.
The experience you had about wanting to dedicate your life to spreading Krishna consciousness.
Oh, okay.
And how you got that realization, that inspiration. And you talk a little bit.
Oh, how did I get inspired to dedicate my life to spreading Krishna consciousness? Yes. Actually, I had this tendency. I felt like, there's no meaningful life except to do something about the world problem. I had that feeling even before I joined this movement. That's why I joined this movement. I had this, of course, that was kind of, it was a whole thing back during the countercultural days in the 60s. There was many young youth who said, we have to do something to revolutionize this planet. It's so screwed up, we have to make, love and peace revolution. So I was very much affected by that. And I really thought the solution had to be spiritual. But I didn't find anything that really worked except for Prabhupada. He was the only one I could see. The Prabhupada was the only one who actually had the way to... I went to something, I went to Swami this, Yogi that. I tried this thing, that meditation, I got initiated in Maharishi. So many things I tried. Nothing worked. But there's a very simple thing, a simple aphorism. Truth works. So I found that there was one out of for years. I mean, I began searching in 67. Seriously. And by the spring of 71, finally I found Prabhupada. I said, this is the great spiritual master who has the vision, who has the potency, who has everything for revolutionizing this planet. So I will serve him. I will help him. I will assist him in this mission. He is the one who has it. I mean, I tried so many things and nothing worked. But when I finally got a real taste by sitting with Vishnu Jana Maharaj as to what is this Krishna consciousness movement. And I got a vision from him, his realization of what this movement is. That was imparted to me by associating with him. And I was absolutely convinced. And that conviction has done nothing but grow since 1971. Nothing but continue to grow. And I meet someone like Atmaran Prabhu and grows even more. So we're blessed. Now we have to share the blessing with the whole world. We're the most fortunate people. This is the most opportune moment in the history of the world right now. We're at the right place, the right time. Actually, in this connection, Bill Gates was one time asked about his success formula. And he said, if you find yourself at the right place at the right time, take massive action. So that's what we're asking you to do today, each and every one of you. You're at the right place at the right time, now take massive action for pushing forward Krishna consciousness under the leadership of our local ISKCON leaders here, Atmaran Prabhu. Work under him, help push forward this mission. And I guarantee you, you will live the sweetest, most exciting life you could ever imagine. You do that. Either do it, you know, whatever your occupation is, you can remain in that occupation. But do it for Krishna. Whatever you're doing, do it for Krishna. And you will taste the sweetest nectar. I guarantee you. Or, I'll give you $10,000 cash. If you try it for 6 months and you don't taste the sweetest nectar, $10,000 cash. You can't lose. Questions, Mark?
Can American dollars or Australian dollars?
You want 20,000? Well, actually, 10,000 Australian is not as much as 10,000 US. I'm getting off easy here in Australia. Any other questions? Yes?
Where do you draw the line for materialism? Having a good car is being materialistic, having a smaller car is better, or bigger car? Where do you draw the line?
Prabhupada has made it very simple in his book. If you study Prabhupada's writings, all these questions will be answered perfectly. So Prabhupada says, you live comfortably but not extravagantly. Whatever you need for comfort, that's all right. You can live comfortably. We don't say you have to be, you know, you have to live uncomfortably. You can live comfortably. Extravagance is not necessary. So if you're not sure if you're being extravagant or comfortable, then you ask some of the devotees, the local devotees. You know, you become known to. You have to make friends with devotees who can guide you. That's why Vaishnavas are important. That's why a guru is important. Senior devotees, you see. It's important because they can help you to guide yourself in a practical way if you're being extravagant or you're being just comfortable. There's nothing wrong with living. It's not that you can't have air conditioning if you're Krishna conscious or something like that. You can take comforts. But don't unnecessarily indulge in comforts beyond what you need to keep your body healthy and energized. Questions, Mark? Alright, so I'm going to turn now to Atmaran Prabhu. He will give the practical application of today's lesson.
Okay. So, today's anniversary, we're speaking of the Bhagavad Gita.